Welcome to Compass with Heladi Mishelia, finding direction for your life.
Hey, greetings of grace. How are you doing? I believe that you are doing good at this moment, wherever you are, at whatever time you may be listening to the Word of God. It's a joy to bring the Word of God to you. It's a joy to bring the Word of God to you. I've been teaching this new year, and I've been talking about the purpose-driven life, or living the life of impact. I have taken the time to explain that the life of impact is that life that you live obeying God, doing what God desires of you, following the intent of God, fulfilling the assignments of God upon your life. That's the life of impact. So we want to bless the name of the Lord, you know, for all of that. And we've been teaching, and we've been following the Purpose-Driven Life book written by Rick Warren. I want to say that we've adapted some things, made some, you know, little changes to adapt to the message that we want to make sure it gets to you. It's one thing to read something, another thing to teach something. We are using this medium to teach, so we're not exactly following every word by word. And of course, one has to study it and then deliver it, especially within the short time that we have to deliver the things that we need to deliver. So maybe if you're reading the book, you may not be able to, one or two places may have some changes, may not be exactly what's in the book. Don't worry, you will discover that the spirit and the message is the same at the end of the day. So we bless God, we bless the name of the Lord for that. Today we are on lesson 11, lesson number 11 of the Purpose-Driven Life. We're using the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I want to encourage that if you will call the number at the end of this broadcast, if you will call our line, our team members will send to you copies of The Purpose-Driven Life straight from the Gateway Media Ministry. They are going to send to you a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life book by Rick Warren. It will be our joy to send it to you. Please make sure you call them and you give sufficient information, and they are going to make sure that the book gets to you. It will bless you in your personal life, and it will bless you also as you follow the discussion up here. So today we are on lesson 11, and lesson 11 is becoming best friends with God, or I would rather call it walking with God. Walking with God. God wants to be your best friend, because God wants to walk with you. Your relationship to God has many different aspects. God is your creator and maker, Lord and master, judge, redeemer, father, savior, and much more. But the most shocking truth is this: Almighty God yearns to be your friend. The Almighty God yearns to be your friend. In Eden, we see God's ideal relationship with us. Adam and Eve enjoyed an intimate friendship with God. There were no rituals, ceremonies, or religion. Just a simple, loving relationship between God and the people He created, unhindered by guilt or fear. Adam and Eve delighted in God, and He delighted in them. We were made to live in God's continual presence. But after the fall, that ideal relationship was lost. Only a few people in Old Testament times had the privilege of friendship with God. Moses and Abraham were called friends of God. David was called a man after God's own heart. And Job, Enoch, and Noah had intimate friendship with God. But the fear of God, not friendship, was more common in the Old Testament. Then Jesus changed the situation. When He paid for our sins on the cross, the veil in the temple that symbolized our separation from God was split from top to bottom, indicating that direct access to God was once again available. Unlike the Old Testament priests who had to spend hours preparing to meet Him, we can now approach God anytime. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, "Let us come before the throne of grace, that we might receive grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in time of need." Friendship with God is possible only because of the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus. The old hymn says, "What a friend we have in Jesus." But actually, God invites us to enjoy friendship and fellowship with all three persons of the Trinity, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. The word for friend in this verse does not mean a casual acquaintance, but a close, trusted relationship. The same word is used to refer to the best man at a wedding, and a king's inner circle of intimate, trusted friends. In royal court, servants must keep their distance from the king, but the inner circle of trusted friends enjoy close contact, direct access, and confidential information. That God would want me for a close friend is hard to understand. But the Bible says he is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. God deeply desires that we know him intimately. In fact, he planned the universe and orchestrated history, including the details of our lives, so that we could become his friends. Knowing and loving God is our greatest privilege, and being known and loved is God's greatest pleasure. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that if any man will boast, let him boast in this, that he knows and understands God. It is difficult to imagine how an intimate friendship is possible between an omnipotent, invisible, perfect God and a finite, sinful human being. It's easier to understand a master-servant relationship or a creator-creation relationship or even father-child. But what does it mean when God wants me as a friend? By looking at the lives of God's friends in the Bible, we learn six secrets of friendship with God. We will look at two secrets in this chapter, and then four in the next. Number one, becoming best friends of God. Number one thing you will see is through constant conversation. Through constant conversation. You will never grow a close relationship with God by just attending church once a week or even having a daily quiet time. Friendship with God is built by sharing all your life experiences with him. I want to share a very interesting experience I had, as a young man. There was this lady who I really liked. And I think somewhere in my heart I was looking forward to forming a bond with her that may eventually lead to marriage. Well, one day I went to see her. And when I got to her place, I noticed that she was with another man. And so, naturally, as a human being, it affected me, affected my confidence, affected my self-esteem. But I had the patience to wait for her for a while. Maybe she would round up what she was doing, and she didn't. I waited for close to an hour, and she didn't. So I took my leave. And I remember getting back to my room that night, and I was feeling hurt by what happened. And I did something very unusual. I just lay down in my bed and I said, Holy Spirit, I'm hot. That's the statement I made. And in the next few minutes, in fact, my friends were in the room. I didn't tell them really what happened. I just came in and lay down in my bed and everybody was talking and chatting and I didn't say anything. I just said, Holy Spirit, I'm hot. And before anything, I dozed and I slept off. My friends waited for me. I didn't wake up, so they helped themselves to dinner and left. I woke up like 4 hours later, maybe at about 2 a.m. or so. Everybody was gone. My room, door to my room was still open. I closed my door. I found what they had left for me, And then the truth about it was that by the time I woke up, I had completely not only been healed from that experience, but the truth about it was that part of me having a relationship with that lady, it left my memory. It was as though I had never met her, had never discussed anything with her, and I never intended to have anything to do with her. So that by the time I met her the next time, I greeted her like I would greet anybody. I lived with her like I would live with her. There was no hurt, there was no bitterness, there was nothing in my heart, and there was also no desire to really for the relationship. Everything was clean. Everything cleaned off. God put me in a position whether if I wanted to go on, I could go on. If I wanted to withdraw, I could withdraw. But of course, by that time, it was clear to me that relationship was not a healthy relationship for me. And so I had already made up my mind to move on. One of the things that you've got to learn if you're going to have a great relationship with God is conversing with Him. Not just praying or having the morning, no, conversation. Of course, it is important to establish the habit of a daily devotional time with God. But He wants more than an appointment in your schedule. He wants to be included in every activity, every conversation, every problem, and even every thought. You can carry on a continuous open-ended conversation with Him throughout your day, talking with Him about whatever you are doing or thinking at that moment. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. Means that you are continuing a conversation with God while you are shopping, driving, working, or performing any other everyday tasks. A common misconception is that spending time with God means being alone with Him. Of course, as Jesus modeled, you need time alone with God. But that is only a fraction of your waking hours. Everything you do can be spending time with God if He is invited to be a part of it and you stay aware of His presence. The classic book on learning how to develop a constant conversation with God is Practicing the Presence of God. It was written to the 17th century by Brother Lawrence, a humble cook in a French monastery. Brother Lawrence was able to turn even the most commonplace and menial tasks like preparing meals and washing dishes into acts of praise and communion with God. The key to friendship with God, he said, is not changing what you do, but changing your attitude towards what you do. What you normally do for yourself can begin doing for God, whether it is eating, bathing, walking, relaxing, or taking out the trash. Today, we often feel we must get away from our daily routine in order to worship God, but that is only because we haven't learned to practice His presence all the time. Brother Lawrence found it easy to worship God through the common tasks of life. He didn't have to go away for special spiritual retreat. This is God's ideal. Even in Eden, worship was not an event to attend, but a perpetual attitude. Adam and Eve were in constant communion with God. Because God is with you all the time, no place is any closer to God than the place where you are right now. Praise God. So when the Bible says you should pray all the time, in reality this is what the Bible is talking about, you conversing with God all the time. The second is through continual meditation. A second way to establish friendship with God is by thinking about His word throughout your day. This is called meditation. And the Bible repeatedly urges us to meditate on who God is, what He has done, and what He has said. It is possible to be God's friend apart from knowing what He says. You can't love God unless you know Him, and you can't know Him without knowing His word. The Bible says God revealed Himself to Samuel through His word. That is how God reveals Himself. God still uses that method today. While you cannot spend all day studying the Bible, you can think about it throughout the day, recalling verses you have read or memorized and mulling them over in your mind. Meditation is often misunderstood as some difficult, mysterious ritual practiced by isolated monks and mystics. But meditation is simply focused thinking, a skill anyone can learn and use anywhere. Oh, it's been such a blessing sharing the word of God with you today. You can be a friend of God. You can walk with God. You can build a life with God by conversing with Him, sharing with Him anything that is in your heart, any challenge, any trouble, anything you don't understand. And I discovered that God answers prayer. You just discover, in fact, it's so interesting, some of the things I'm discovering these days. You know, sometimes somebody just asks me a question and I don't know the best way to answer him. Maybe what he's asking for is something technical. And right where that person is asking me that thing, I just pray in my heart. I say, Lord, how do I answer? And you know, it's funny, sometimes the Lord will tell me, just wait a second. And maybe I may just wait 2, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, and somebody will just show up and say something. And that thing that person said or something I saw will just tell me how to answer that question at that time. God answering me prayers in split seconds. Just a joy knowing the Lord. Remember the old hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, What a glory he shares on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. Then we will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. Father, we bless you for your word today. Let it find place in our heart and shine our path and make our way. In Jesus' name. Great sharing the word of God with you. Please call our numbers and get a copy of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Today is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing.
I am sure you have been blessed by today's episode of Compass. Let's continue the interaction on our social media platforms at Hella E. Michelia on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, keep moving in the direction of your destiny.